This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary and Chris back with you here on Wednesday, January the 14th, 2015. And Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. And we've got quite a bit here on the list to get to. We're going to see how much we can cram in the next 45 minutes to an hour. So we'll see just how much we can fit in here. Before we begin, just very, very quickly, just want to remind you that we have a Amazon link. Now, Chris, you shop on Amazon. I shop on Amazon. I guarantee you everyone who has ever listened to this show shops on Amazon.
This show or any show in existence or just lived life.
Yeah.
It's a part of American culture. I mean, who doesn't?
Exactly. So with that being said, you can shop at Amazon like you normally would, only if you go to WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon, it's a cute little link that tells Amazon, we sent you. And then, so no extra cost to you. Whatever you buy, Amazon, you know, throws a couple pennies at us. Like, we're a couple bums on the street. They just throw a couple pennies at our head to wake us up, you know, in the middle of the day as we're taking our little nap. That's what happens. So they throw us a couple little pennies, and it helps keep the website going. So, you know, anything you can do to help us out, guys, we would greatly appreciate that. And so WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon. So check it out. And if you could support us, that would be awesome. Right, Chris?
Oh, definitely. And like he said, it's no cost to you. It's not going to affect any of your shipping costs or taxes. You just buy your stuff like you normally do. It's just a little bit of a different link to get there. That's all.
Exactly.
It's not. It's simple. It's still Amazon.
Exactly. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
And Chris, we found out some huge news this week. Let's just jump right into this. The Macho Man.
Ooh, I am so excited for this, man. The cream of the crop. Dig it.
The Macho Man, Randy Savage, will finally be going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Finally.
Remember Stone Cold? He asked Vince about that on his podcast, and it almost seemed like he was pushing a little bit. He was like,
It was point blank. He's like, Macho Man going in, yes or no?
Vin said yes, and then he was like, this year, next year, or whatever it was. And he's like, we'll see. He's like, really? He's going in? Like, Steve couldn't believe it.
Right. He's like, wait, what?
He could not believe that this was happening. So, Macho Man Randy Savage. And this is the weird thing that I don't understand. And I vented about this on Twitter, but I just have to say this because, you know, TMZ, they broke the story on their website, and, you know, that's fine. You know, they get breaking news all the time. I mean, you know, they're reporting when people die, when big, you know, fights or whatever, or, you know, just mainstream news. But they were the first to report about Hulk Hogan coming back to the WWE last year. They reported on many different stories. So they picked up the story. They put it out there first. And WWE then posted the story on their website, and they kept using this language of, we are expecting there to be an announcement tonight on Raw. And I'm like, well, you're expecting it. So you're reporting on your website that you're expecting an announcement. So, you know, within your company logic on your website, within your own storylines, you are expecting. So you don't know if he's going to be announced or not. Like, I found it to be so weird, Chris.
No, it's odd. It's like, just give us a yes or no. It's like, he either is or isn't. Just quit beating around the bush. Just confirm it or deny it. That's it.
It's pretty simple, actually. And then and then we get to the show, and I put out a tweet. I'm like, is Vince rewriting the show or what? Because Cole was using the same language. We are expecting an announcement of the Macho Man. It's your show. How do you not know what's going on in the damn show? You don't know what's going on in this show. You have no idea what's going on in the confines of your own show that's heavily scripted, that you know every little meticulous detail of what's going to happen, and you don't know if there's going to be an announcement. Now, you mean to tell me, Michael Cole, there's not segment 8 or 9 or whatever the hell it is on your little sheet that doesn't say Macho Man announcement? You don't know that? Come on.
It is so weird. It doesn't make any sense. Of course, you know, it's trying to put logic into their show. It's not going to happen. And it's just so weird.
I mean, it's great news, and I hate to start off the show with a rant, but God dang, man, that is so silly. It really is.
They have not done that before. I mean, they say, we have our first inductee. Here he is. Boom. And then they get right to it.
Either it's happening or it's not.
Right.
But because TMZ broke the story first, and then they come on their Raw show, and they're like, yeah, earlier today on TMZ, they reported this. Why didn't you say earlier today on our website? You know, you're plugging somebody else, right. And I get it. You know, you're like, hey, these guys picked us up. But you could have easily said, we got this story on our website, TMZ picked it up, or however, you know, spin it. They spin every other thing else. All these right. Did you know facts, this rating and that rating. They spin everything else to their, you know, to their stuff. So why don't they just spin this? Hey, we put this story out online. TMZ's covering it. Look at these guys are covering it. Macho Man going to be announced tonight. We have a special, you know, a special package, a video package or something. Not this expected. Yeah. Like, we don't know. You know it's going to happen.
Right. Everything else is scripted. Why not? You know. Everything's predetermined in advance.
Well,
this should be no different. Well, Chris, it has not been different since Andre went in as the first guy.
I guess they were scripted to say that they didn't know. So
that is so weird.
Jesus Christ! But look, it is good news. I wish that it could have happened a couple of years ago when he was still with us. I mean, God knows that would have been great to have seen him come back and do something with him.
That would have been one of the best speeches, and of course. We had the Ultimate Warrior and his great speech.
Yeah.
And that would have been right up there with it had he been with us.
I would have loved to have seen that. But instead, we're going to get Hulk Hogan presenting the award, and I guess Lanny Poffo, his brother, will accept it for him.
I imagine so.
Maybe we'll even get a poem, Chris. Lanny's quite the character. I've interviewed him a couple times over the years, and he is quite the character. So... I mean, I'm sure he'll take a serious approach with this, being that it's his family and it's a Hall of Fame, but you know he's going to throw in a little Lanny Poffo on the deal.
Oh, yeah. And you know somebody else that I saw on the Twitter that was really excited?
What's that?
Jay Lethal.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mr. Guy, man, he nailed Black Machismo when he was in TNA, and that was one of my favorite characters.
He had about a 2 or 3 year run with that? Maybe longer.
Yeah, Black Machismo. It started out when Kevin Nash was there, and they were trying to give him a new gimmick on as part of the show, and like having him in Big Daddy Cool Diesel outfits and all this other stuff, and then finally settled on the Macho Man outfit and just ran with the Black Machismo stuff.
He nailed it.
He did.
I mean, he was so awesome at that character. I don't know, did because I know Randy didn't do a whole lot of interviews in the last couple of years of his life, but.
No.
Does anybody know that's listening? Maybe you guys can tweet us at PW Informant, or Chris, I don't know if you know, but did Randy ever comment and say, whoa, way to go, kid. You know, like, was he into it or what?
I don't think so. I think whenever he did it, I think Macho Man did a couple of stints, and I think he did like one quick stint in TNA, but then he was done.
Yeah.
He was out of the business, and social media wasn't as prominent in wrestling as it is now.
That is true.
So it's hard to tell, but that would have been so cool. But because I know even Jay Lethal, because whenever I met Jay Lethal last year, and he was really cool about it. And of course, he's putting over my Macho Man shirt. And that's the first thing he said. He's like, oh, man, that's a nice shirt, man. Well, that's a real nice shirt.
Chris, good God, man. Can you reach out to this guy? Let's talk to him. Right. I'd love to ask him about that. If Mach has ever reached out to him and said, you know, way to go, kid. Yeah. You know, or so, I don't know, something.
Yeah, no, I've definitely on my list.
Well, very good. Very good. Of which we have some other news that's kind of coming in late this evening before we started taping. This didn't even make the notes, Chris, but the Izod Center, which is the site of this year's SummerSlam. Well, not no more. It's closing.
Oh, oops.
It is going to be closing here in, what is it, sometime in, I guess, March or April here. NorthJersey.com has picked up the story that the Izod Center is going bye-bye after being around for the last 34 years. 18,000-seat wow. arena, Chris.
That's a pretty good seat, especially for a summer pay-per-view like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just going to shut it down. They're going to demolish it. It's gone?
It's gone, man. Wow. It's basically, they kind of side me. We don't have to read the whole article on the radio here, but basically, you know, with all the sports teams going away, you know, the Devils from NHL, the Nets, you know, these teams leaving, there's not a whole lot of clientele, I guess, here at the at the Izod Center. Now, Chris, I've been to this building before. This was, I want to say last year, like it was 2013, but no, it was 2 years ago now. WrestleMania was at MetLife.
Yeah, it was WrestleMania 29.
And they did the fan access inside of Izod Center. So Izod is where they did Raw. This is where that crowd that everybody goes crazy about, the Raw after WrestleMania, yeah. New Jersey crowd. This was in this building. I wasn't there for the Raw, but I was there for the fan access, and it was kind of cool to be in that building because that building's got some WWE history to it. I mean, if you go back to SummerSlam 97, Bret versus Undertaker, Shawn was the ref. You got, Mankind and Triple H in the cage. This is where Owen damn near broke Steve Austin's neck. He did break his neck. Okay, yeah. So
almost paralyzed him permanently.
Yeah. So that SummerSlam, I think, I believe 89 was also there. Hogan and Brutus Beefcake against Macho King and Zeus.
Oh, yeah, that's when they were doing the No Holds Barred promotion.
Yeah.
So that movie.
That was in 1989. There's probably a few other pay-per-views that will come to mind later, but I want to say they did another SummerSlam there, maybe in like 06 or 07 before they moved out to L.A. for SummerSlam. But, yeah, they're closing this place down. And I'll tell you what, man, when I went in there, it definitely was kind of showing its age on the inside. The outside, they kind of, you know, kept it painted real nice. You go inside, it definitely looks like vintage, you know, late 70s, 80s looking arena, hockey arena, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of like this closet, you know, arena mark kind of. I love stadiums and arenas, and especially like the older they look, the better. I love that kind of stuff.
Well, I remember going to WWF shows at the old St. Louis Arena. It was that kind of thing, too. It was a real old building. It had a lot of history at the Blues going back to the 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
and there were a lot of WWF shows there. I saw Owen Hart there a couple of times. It was really cool. So I have some personal history with the old St. Louis Arena and just St. Louis wrestling in general.
There you go.
Most of it around Owen Hart.
Oh, man. Yeah, Owen Hart, man. Whew. Love that guy. So now they don't have a venue, but I know they're going to be looking for something. And you know what? I've said this before. I don't know if it was on this program or our old program, depending on the last time this came up. But it was announced when they announced that SummerSlam was going to be in New Jersey. The way they advertised it, they said SummerSlam coming to New York, New Jersey. And it kind of had that similar promotion like they did when they did WrestleMania 29, which they also kind of did WrestleMania New York, New Jersey.
Right, they even incorporated that into the logo.
Yeah, so for me, I'm kind of thinking, man, why don't you just throw this damn thing in MetLife? You know, I mean, pack the damn stadium. In that market, they can sell that thing out, or damn near close.
Oh, yeah, and it's SummerSlam, too. It's not like one of these podunk, recently created shows that have been only a couple years old. This is SummerSlam.
It's the second biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
And with the right... You know, with the right story, I mean, that would require them to actually put in the work and make a hot angle. But, I mean, the last time SummerSlam was in a stadium was 92 at Wembley. And that was a great, you know.
Was that 93,000 or something like that? It was packed.
I don't know if it was 93, but it was a lot. I mean, you had Bret and Bulldog, Randy and Warrior for the title. That whole thing with like Flair and Mr. Perfect and Bobby Heenan.
I remember watching that on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I remember that too. They showed it like on a day or two delay or something like that. Yeah. I remember. I think it was on like a Monday night, if I'm not mistaken.
It was pretty cool too, because now everything is in HD, so it looks exactly the same. You can't tell if they were filming in London or Paris or the United States. It had that they recorded differently, so it looked different on TV. So I thought that was really cool back then.
Yeah. So I say, you know, try SummerSlam in the stadium. Why not? Just give it a shot. If you have the right story, you can put asses in the seats. That just requires them to put in an effort and make people care about what's going on. Now, granted, that is a tall order these days.
That's a reach.
But it's not impossible.
No.
And I would say go for it. I mean, you know, yeah, you can put it in, Long Island, Nassau, Coliseum. You can... put it in Barclays. You can put it in the Garden. Hey, Garden would be cool too, but I would say it's the summer. It'll be nice and hot outside. Throw the damn thing in the stadium and let's just see what happens. Let's try it. That's what I say.
Exactly. And let me ask you this. Since they've been doing the, they just now go into Jersey, New York, whatever, and then they did the LA. Do you see them sticking with those two markets for SummerSlam moving forward? Just those two? Or do you see them expanding like they do everything else? Like the Royal Rumble's in Philadelphia, and then you got the next pay-per-view in what? I forget where it is, but.
I don't see any reason to wear out the market. I'm all about moving it around. I know that the fans of LA and New York would certainly be a lot more, you know, wanting to have that event every year, you know, something that they, tradition they can have every year. And I get that. And maybe if I lived in one of those markets, I'd probably be selfish too and want that. But I say, you know, put it in different markets every year. I just prefer that. I don't like when they go back to the same place every year and it just kind of essentially looks like the same show every year. That's kind of what Staples felt like to me, Staples Center out in LA. And, you know, I kind of like the idea that they're going to be, you know, moving it to New York this year. But I'm very much a proponent of putting it in MetLife and just seeing what happens. I don't think they should have a problem at all putting people in that stadium. It's in the summer. It could be a cool vibe, man. I say go for it.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I you know, that's the latest. So this story broke out today, this afternoon, that Eyes Out is going to be closed. SummerSlam will not have to move. We don't know where yet, but I'm sure WWE will tell us when they know. So they'll be looking around.
They expect it to be in a stadium.
That would be awesome.
They expect it to be in New York. How about that?
Yeah.
They expect it to be. Yeah, it's expected. They'll probably throw that word around again. Expected.
Throw it in Yankee Stadium. Do the ballpark like you did WrestleMania. What was it, 19 at Safeco? Yeah, try a ballpark. Yes,
right, because then they when they had the retractable roof, they opened it up. Then they were able to shut it if they had to.
Yeah, I mean they don't have that luxury in New York. They don't have a retractable roof, but.
No, yeah, City Field's wide open and Yankee Stadium is wide open.
Put a little tent over there. Just, you know, give it something different, you know? I mean, they call it a big show, you know, the second biggest show of the year. I don't see why they couldn't put it in a damn stadium. Do two stadium shows a year. Make some money.
Right.
God knows you like to burn money with your character, so, you know.
Oh, geez. I know.
Make some money elsewhere, okay? Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan. I got a little thing here I want to say about Daniel Bryan. So, for those of you guys who don't know, he will be on SmackDown tomorrow. He's going to be fighting Kane. That part is not a spoiler, and I will not tell you the finish of the match from SmackDown. You can seek it out on your own. But, you know, Chris, as much as I'm not big of a Kane fan, I think it made sense for his first opponent back to be Kane because, you know, Kane was essentially the guy that put him out. So if anything's going to make sense, it'll be for him to fight Kane.
Right. Logically, yeah. And thankful that it's not on a pay-per-view match because that would have just killed the pay-per-view.
Would have felt like a waste, huh?
Right. Yeah. This has been perfect for Raw. It was a continuation of the storyline, the underdog storyline that Kane took, and then the injury thing where Kane took him out. You know, it's much bigger, obviously much bigger than the Daniel Bryan. So it's like a mini David versus Goliath type thing.
Yeah. And now there is something coming out that you guys will find out about tomorrow, but there is some sort of a stipulation not involving this match, but another match that kind of has got me wondering, you know, what are they up to? Let's just say that.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, there's some stipulation involving Daniel Bryan coming up in the next week that I'm just wondering
making
about.
You think a little.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Do they put Daniel Bryan at number one in the Rumble?
Oh, it's not that, no.
No, I know it's not that, but could they do that? I mean, the authority is really trying to stick it to him.
They could.
I mean, that would make perfect sense. It's like, you know, you claim to be this, you know, this hero to the fans. We think you're a B-plus player. Let's see how you do at number one.
Well, Punk was at number one last year, correct?
Yes.
So he did pretty good. Well, I mean, for as best as his body could do, but.
Right. Yeah, you know, loaded up with Z-Packs and his staph infection. I think he did all right.
I know. Chris, it's bad that we're laughing at a staph infection. We should really stop that.
I know. We should. And Z-Packs are helpful antibiotics, but unless you have the infection that needs a Z-Pack, it's not going to do much good.
Now, this is one thing I do have a little, I have a just a very small gripe, because he did a promo on Raw with Stephanie, and Stephanie offered him the DVD. It was pretty damn funny. I did like that. But the thing about it is, to me, is that it seems like every time he's on TV, he's always, you know, smiling, happy, go lucky, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That's always his thing. Now, if he was completely consistent in that, that's one thing. And we could say, well, you know, he really should do this or do that. But this, I saw this video. I was looking at some WWE YouTube videos today to kind of check out and see, you know, sometimes they do these side videos or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have this video of Daniel Bryan after Raw, after the brawl with Kane on TV. He's backstage. Now, mind you, this was not going to be seen by very many people. I mean, this is an internet video. It's not something they're showing on Raw.
And this, strictly on YouTube.
This is right in line, Chris, with what they've done with Daniel Bryan last year leading up to Mania. And it seems like every time before that. So, you know, on TV, happy-go-lucky, smiling, this, that, and the other thing. He gets on this interview on, you know, on the Raw Fallout or whatever the hell it's called. And he's, like, fired up. He's intense. He's angry. He's like, you know, Kane took me out of action for the last year. You know, he ruined my life last year and all that. Like, these are all things that he should be saying in promos on TV where it counts, not on a YouTube video that maybe 20 or 30,000 people are going to see. They did this when they had all the post shows on Raw last year after Raw. You know, they'd interview him right after Raw went off the air, and he's all fired up, but then he gets on TV, hey, well, guys, it's nice to see you. Yes, 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 hey, everybody. And then he gets off camera, after Raw goes off the air, oh, let me tell you something, I'm gonna beat this guy, but I'm gonna do this. And I'm just like, why is this not on Raw? Why are they not letting this man speak how he should be able to speak on Raw?
They could have just cut to him backstage, and he could have done that. Like, backstage during Raw, you have like Renee Young or somebody catch up with him and just put a microphone in front of him in front of the people on Raw, and just boom, right there, done.
Well, for some reason, they don't want you to see this.
Ugh.
It's just
mind-boggling.
It is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. The guy can clearly cut a nice promo.
He does.
And they don't put the damn things on TV.
You want to expose the audience to good stuff. There's your chance, right there.
They don't want you to see it.
That's so retarded.
Either that, or Vince is not putting his fingerprints on these YouTube videos, which he probably isn't.
Yeah, I doubt it. He could have somebody else in charge of that.
So they're probably like, hey, Brian, give us you know a minute promo on Kane, okay? And then he does what he naturally, instinctively would do when he's not scripted word by word by word. And he's trying to be passionate and tell people why he's going to kick this guy's ass or whatever. But then when you get on Raw, you've got this just overly scripted, overly produced, just mess. It's just unnecessary to script these guys word for word for word. It's terrible. I'm not a fan of it, Chris. I just wanted to get that out. I'm sorry. I had to say it.
No, say it, man. That's what we're here for. It's our show. We can say whatever we want.
This is true. I just wish they'd let the damn guy speak. Now, Roman Reigns, I wish they would shut him up.
Right, because some guys, you're thinking, man, quit scripting him. Quit doing, just let him be. Just give him some bullet points and say, go.
If I got to hear suffering succotash, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Magic Beans, and all this other dreck, I'm just going to stop watching altogether.
Yeah, last week, I'm thinking at the very end, what did I just watch? Well, I'm thinking even more this week. I was like, that segment, I'm like, what did I just watch?
It is just mindless dreck that is just unnecessary for him to be going out and talking about suffering succotash and magic and beans and the beanstalk.
Telling nursery rhymes and Jack and the Beanstalk story time.
What happened to the Roman Reigns that would come out for 30 seconds and say, Seth Rollins, I'm coming for you, and I'm going to put my fist down your throat. Oh. Believe in that. Boom. boom, it's done, it's over, right?
Right, real intimidating, and then he went out and did it.
Exactly.
He could brag and back it up.
Or what about when Roman Reigns is in the building, you damn right Cena sucks and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now we get the beanstalk and the magic beans.
Yeah, making fun of the Big Show.
That is not getting Roman Reigns over. Sure as hell not getting the Big Show over. Oh, no one cares about the Big Show versus Roman Reigns right now.
I really don't, and I didn't care about it when it happened already on Raw. When it happened the last couple of times, I didn't care then. I sure as hell won't care at the Rumble or whenever it happens.
What they're doing with Roman Reigns, Chris, is the equivalent of, let's say, you are at a casino.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. You just won $1 million.
Okay.
You put $1 million in a bag, you know, like a gym bag. Let's just talk old school, like you're robbing the place or something.
Right, yeah, just throwing it in a duffel bag.
You walk outside, and you light the bag on fire and burn all this money. That's what you're doing. That's what they're doing, Roman Reigns. They are just burning money left and right. This guy could be money. Everybody's saying about how Roman Reigns isn't the guy. He's not the guy to push. He could be the guy. He has the look. He has that down. You know, let's get a couple things in place in the ring. Let's tweak a couple things. He's good. But
yeah, yes.
The promos, dude. Whoa. We need to back up on this for a minute. I mean, come on. Jack and the Beanstalk ain't going to cut it. You cannot make him John Cena light. It's not going to work.
No way.
It's not going to work.
Nobody even likes it when John Cena does John Cena light. How do you expect it to work with Roman Reigns?
It's not going to work. That's how I don't expect it, because guess what? It's not going to work. Plain and simple.
Oh.
Period. It's not going to work, Chris.
No, not at all.
And then they're going to be wondering, why isn't Roman Reigns over? Why isn't Roman Reigns ready for the title? Well, that's on you. That's on your tab. That's what that is. So they have some work to do here. And, you know, it's going to make for an interesting WrestleMania season, because then we're going to be probably talking about a lot of the same stuff here, wondering if this guy's ready, that guy's ready, who are they going to put in the title picture? This is the first time where I backed away from my stance of thinking that Roman Reigns could win. I'm wondering, are they really going to do it?
Well, I'm wondering, though, if he's in the final four in the Rumble match. Him and Bryan are in that final four guys.
Oh, he'll definitely be final four. I'd bet the whole house on that.
Yeah, those two will be the final four.
Well, you got two more guys. Now you're talking about final four. Who's the other guys? Corporate Kane and...
I'm thinking a wild card, maybe like Rusev.
Rusev Crush!
Yeah. He could be one of those guys that's in the final... A guy that you don't expect. I mean, they're really... We've talked about this before. They're really protecting him and doing a good job of protecting him. And I think that he could really showcase at the Rumble if he gets into that final four.
Well, sure. I mean, he could. I have no problem with Rusev.
Yeah.
But they just have a lot of work to do with this Roman Reigns guy. I mean, you can't have him come out cutting these promos, man. They had the right idea before. You know, the very short and sweet, you know, and yes, you know, the name of the game here in WWE current day is promos and long promos, because God knows they don't want to shake up the format. So it's got to be long promos.
It's got to be promos, and you can't, heaven forbid there's any professional wrestling. Oh, no.
No, we don't.
No. We can't even say that.
We don't want any of that.
Oh, that's blasphemy.
It's
entertainment.
They need to work on this guy and get him ready, because I like him.
I think
he's great.
For a long time. Yeah. Oh, man. I've liked his character and the look and everything for a really long time.
Listen to him in an interview, man. You'll grow to like him. Trust me. We're just not getting that guy on the mic at Raw, because we got to get cute with him. We got to talk about magic beans and stuff like that. That's not going to sell pay-per-views, guys.
Oh, get this. I'm gonna interrupt
or
you.
Network subs, excuse me. Whoa.
Yeah, subscriptions. Oh, subscriptions. A publicly traded company and shareholders and executives. Blah, 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 blah.
All but the corporate speak.
You're right. There's actually a WWE live event coming here to St. Louis. I think it's either Friday night or Saturday night.
Right.
And one of the matches is Roman Reigns versus The Big Show. Pass.
I was looking for some cricket sound effects, but I didn't have it.
Yeah. And they're doing John Cena versus Seth Rollins in a steel cage.
That should be good.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt's going to be there. Chris Jericho's going to be there. It's just going to be just a spinoff of Raw, basically. So I do not want to see Roman Reigns versus The Big Show.
No one does.
No, not even at a live event.
No one wants to see that. I mean, maybe if they did a better job and put some more intensity behind it, but no one wants. I dare somebody to tweet me at PW Informant and say, hey, Gary, I wanted to see that. No one wants to see that.
I double dog dare you out there to post that because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, someone post their public Twitter name to me and say, that's what I want to see. Sign your name to it. Put your name on it.
Yep.
As comedian Jay Moore would say, put your name on it.
Put your name on it, endorse it, stamp of approval.
Yeah.
I want to hear it because there's nobody out there that wants this.
All right, let's talk about greatness. Can we mark out a little bit to Seth Rollins, please?
Oh, please, by all means.
Seth Rollins at the end of Raw, standing tall, curb stomping John Cena and curb stomping Brock Lesnar.
Wow! Into the table. I mean, he was already put through the table, so that was the exclamation mark right there. The curb stomp while he's still on the table.
I loved it, man.
Yeah. Oh, and then his exchange with Paul Heyman was brilliant.
This guy is straight money. I've said it every week from now. Every week I've said it, and I'll say it again this week because I mean it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's doing everything right. Everything.
Yeah. He pointed out to John Cena at the end of the show about how, you know, the three strikes it was. The first strike was he said he was going to take the authority out of power, and they're back. He said he was going to bring his friends back to work. He didn't. Yep. And then there was the whole thing about he says he's going to, you know, win the title at the Royal Rumble, and he's not. And then I think that's where the attack happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the way this guy handles himself, he's not that, you know, cool heel looking for a pop from the crowd. He's out there to get people to hate him, and people don't like him. Well, except for us. We like him. But.
We do, obviously. And then there was that backstage segment with Rollins, Lesnar, and Heyman, where Lesnar is just staring a hole right into Rollins. And he's not flinching at all.
Tell me you don't want to see these guys fight.
I would want to see that one-on-one.
So would I. I mean, there's money in that. You know, you get those two guys together.
More so than Cena, Lesnar again. I want to see Rollins and Lesnar. That's the match right there.
Well, that's why I like that it's a triple threat now. Because, you know, I mean, yeah, they probably did it just because they want to protect, you know, probably Lesnar or Cena. But it has its benefits, too, because Rollins can go in there and just be awesome. I mean,
he probably will be.
Yes, exactly. So those are kind of the high spots for me, you know, as far as, you know, Rollins is kind of the high spot for me of this whole Raw show. Is there anything else about this show that you really liked or you didn't like that you want to bring up now or forever hold your peace?
Oh gosh. What'd you think about the Dean Ambrose segment when he was backstage with a psychiatrist?
Did I not say this 4 or 5 weeks ago? Dean Ambrose and moving away from the main event, he's going to become just another guy on the show.
Yep.
Go back 4 or 5 or 6 shows back where I said that. And this is what you get. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, quote unquote entertaining, but it's not what I want to see Dean Ambrose do. I want to see Dean Ambrose kick people's asses. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, they nickname him the Lunatic Fringe because he just goes absolutely crazy. I want to see that. I don't want to see him backstage talking to a shrink.
I mean, he's very entertaining. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like the guy. I like watching him. I just, for me... you know, I think that they could do some better stuff with him. So that's just my opinion. I'm sure other people, they probably watch it and they probably love it. And that's cool. I mean, great. If that's for you, go ahead. But I just think back to when he was in that main event with Seth Rollins and the Hell in the Cell, you know, tearing down the house, man.
Oh my God. They did too.
So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, this is where they're at now with him. And maybe in 2015 here, they can get him back on track and put him back. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be like a top guy in the company. He's going to be a world champion guy. I certainly think he could be, but I don't think that that's his role necessarily. It's going to upset the people, me saying that, but I think they probably have other plans for that title. He's probably not in that picture, but he could be, or he could be some sort of a contender in that world. I mean, he can absolutely visit the main events once in a while, and I'd like to see that.
Oh, I totally agree.
So
totally agree.
We'll see what happens. What else you got on this Raw, man? What's your thoughts on the rest of the show? Anything?
Not really. I mean, the rest of it was pretty much a dud for me.
Yeah.
Sitting there watching it and kind of making fun of it a little bit. And
yeah.
That was about, there was the, whenever they announced whenever they officially announced Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame, all the WWE superstars trying to imitate.
Oh yeah. That is correct. Yeah,
That was probably the only other thing.
I think Miz was the only guy who accurately got the voice right.
Yeah, everybody else just kind of whatever. Like, jeez, putting them on TV just to put them on.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is. You know, they have the Usos on there. Oh God, the Usos, man, and Naomi having to wrestle one arm tied behind her back, like they couldn't have cared any less.
Yeah, it's like they're not even trying at this point.
Yeah,
the creative's not even trying. I'm not even calling them bookers because they're not booking anything. Creative is just, they're just not even trying anymore.
I blame Vince.
Yeah,
he's the one with the final say, guys.
Yep, that's the gatekeeper right there.
Yeah,
that's the gatekeeper to what you see on TV.
For all we know, the creative team, and we've had many creative writers on the show.
We have.
For all we know, the creative guys could have had some awesome, awesome ideas, and not one of them got through. Who knows?
Yeah, they could have got filtered. They could have got filtered how many times through their supervisors, through the head of creative, through Triple H, through Stephanie, through anybody, and then ultimately Vince. So it could have gotten watered down so many times, even before it got to Vince. Or it could have got straight to Vince, and he'd be like, I'm going to change it.
Yeah, these are all strong possibilities. We'll say that.
Yeah.
By the way, I know we got people listening in the UK, Chris, and I want to know, I saw people on my Twitter feed today talking about the network is already in UK right now.
Oh, right now it is.
Apparently it's in there early.
Oh, cool.
Allegedly, we'll say.
it's expected to be there.
That's what people are saying, man. So I'm curious as far as... you know, if it's really out there, if it is, please tweet us at PW Informant. Yeah, I want to know about it.
I'm kind of curious too, because it was the UK and Ireland.
They were launching on Monday, but people are tweeting, you know, screenshots saying, look, I'm here in the UK. I got the network on my TV and it's not the blocking with the VPN or the,
all the underground tactics.
Yeah, the unblock us, unblock.us or whatever the hell it is. All that technical mumba jumba and all that stuff.
Nothing shady. It's all in the up and up.
Yeah, so people are in there now. So if you live awesome. In the UK and you haven't heard about this, go try it out. Get back to us at PW Informant. Let us know if you are accessing this network. I want to know.
Yeah, UK, Ireland, wherever you're listening from over there, let us know.
Go watch Tough Enough Season 1. It's on the network now.
Yeah, and so is the Macho Man. I think the Macho Man story is going to be on there. It is on.
You mean after I already bought it?
Yeah.
No.
You bought it and I rented it. Paid money for it.
What was it? I watched Tough Enough Season 1. I got up all the way up to the finals. I'm going to watch it after we get done, actually.
God, who would I know for? I'd have to go. I got to go back and watch it because, season 1, wasn't that when they had it on MTV?
It was on MTV. Some of the key names: Maven,
yep,
Nydia,
yep,
Chris Nowinski,
big in the concussion studies now.
Yeah, and TNA broadcaster one Josh Matthews.
Whoa! Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot. Yeah, he was there trying out, and then he didn't make it and ended up being on the commentary side.
A couple other people that I saw, I don't know if you remember this guy, but he was friends with the Hardy, Shannon Moore, and
I remember him.
Shane Helms. Champagne.
Yep.
Marty Garner, he was they showed his video during the Tough Enough, but I don't think he made it to the finals or anything like that, but Oh, who else? ODB. She made it in the top 25. She was looking real young too.
Wow.
She tries to rough herself up a little bit, but she's got a good look to her. I like the way she looks.
Yeah, she's in Ring of Honor now.
Is she really?
And working the indies. Yeah.
Man, we got to talk to her, Chris. But
yeah, well, she's doing a big. They got a big 6-man tag coming up against the Kingdom.
Well, put it out there, man.
It's ODB and the Briscoes against the Kingdom.
Good Lord.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. Talk to her for me. Bring her on. I want to talk to this girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Get her on the show. Jesus. So.
Dude. Oh, damn it.
So season one of Tough Enough is out there. You can check it out. And hey, I mean, it was interesting to go back and watch, you know, Al Snow and Taz and Jazz training these people.
Yeah. I remember that it was Al Snow and Taz leading the charge.
Yeah. So are not Jazz, Jacqueline. My apologies. For the ladies. And then a big John Gaborik, who's over at TNA now. You know, speaking of TNA, man, before we get some of these listener questions, we have a couple.
Yeah, I got to hear about this.
So TNA, Destination America.
Yeah, I got to hear about this.
God bless you. You don't have it.
am I fortunate?
Well, okay. All right. I sat down and watched it. Now, for people that don't know, I have, before last week, I had not watched TNA since November of 2013. That's how long it had been. Over a year, I gave up on them. I just could not take it anymore. I heard about, you know, when Eric Young won the title, and he was kind of like a Daniel Bryan light. And then, yeah, and then they came to the Manhattan Center and said, we're relaunching, and Tommy Dreamer's talking about 1997 ECW and all this other stuff. And I just, you know... I just stayed away from it. You know, I'll just be honest with you. So anyway, they launched their new show last week. Now it's going to be on Fridays, you know, going forward. But for right now, last week it was on Wednesday. It was live. Well, I found out later that it was actually on a tape delay live.
Ah, kind of like how Raw used to be.
Yeah, it was on a couple hour tape delay. And they had cameras everywhere. They had cameras in the wrestlers' hotel rooms, following them to the bus as they got on the bus to go to the building. They had them outside of the building, backstage. They had the gorilla position on camera, for crying out loud. And Dixie Carter, I heard her in a couple interviews talking about how they had like GoPros set up all over the arena and telling the talent that everything is going to be on camera. They're recording everything in the dressing rooms, for crying out loud.
Is that, I guess that's permanent. That's going to be a permanent staple of their show. It wasn't just like a one-time thing for the launch.
No, this is they're trying to change it up a little bit.
Huh? Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. It's kind of got that reality TV type thing where cameras are everywhere.
Yeah. When I saw the gorilla position, I'm like, Whoa.
They're kind of breaking kayfabe a little bit.
Saw, what was it, Al Snow and Big John Gaborik back there, you know, with their headsets on. And they did this weird opening where, what was it? They had, like, the heels on one bus, the baby faces on another, and they were, like, walking towards each other outside of the Manhattan Center. But Bobby Roode and Bobby Lashley were at the front of each group respectively because, you know, they're trying to, like, you know, lock it in. And they're like, you know, they're standing around each other. All the wrestlers are hovering around them because that's the big fight. I mean, they wanted to promote Bobby Lashley versus, you know, Bobby Roode. They'd already had two fights previously. You know, so they're trying to do something to promote it. And that's all well and good. They did a cheap ass finish at the end of that show. TNA couldn't help themselves. They had like Samoa Joe and all these guys running down and interfering in the match.
Oh my God. Man, why does that sound like WCW? you want to talk about, because I know this was one of the questions last week. Why is WWE like WCW 2000? No, this is like WCW. This reminds me so much of WCW at the end.
They had the building lit so dark because they had so many empty seats in the building. But this opening, so yeah, they were all out front, and then they had like a brawl outside of the the arena, which they all led inside the building. So they essentially started fighting outside and they brawled to the inside of the arena and they were brawling there until finally Kurt Angle got everybody to kind of like cool off and said, you know, I'm not going to be the director of operations anymore. I'm back as a wrestler. And then he and MVP had this fight and the crowd was getting bleeped because they were cursing and all this other stuff. And it was just, I don't know, man. It seemed like a lot of the same TNA that I've seen before. I don't know, other than these cameras, and now granted, it's their first week back. You know, maybe in weeks 2 through 5, they're going to change some stuff up and make it like a gradual change, not just, hey, here's a new show, we're completely different. But, I don't know, man. To me, it just seemed a lot like the same show. So
that's a shame.
Yeah.
This is why I opt to financially back all the independent shows. Ring of Honor, New Japan, PWG, San Luis Anarchy, everything like that. I choose to back those.
Yeah.
Because of what you get for the money.
This is true. It just seemed a lot like the same old show. And we'll see what they do in the coming weeks. You know, I'm not going to completely destroy it yet. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully they can turn it around. Because I want to see them do good.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do.
So, speaking of these indies places like ROH and stuff like that, I understand you've got a roundup of news that we're going to get to before we get to these listener questions.
We got New Japan Pro Wrestling. You're going to be able to watch them, I think it's for the next 13 weeks on Access TV. And their first show is this Friday night. It's Tanahashi versus Okada, which I presume is they're replaying the main event from the Dome show, Wrestle Kingdom.
Aha.
So you're going to see that. I think it's an hour long, and I already have it set on my DVR. I think it's on late.
Oh man.
On Friday, I think it's on late Friday night. I could be wrong. I have to double check, but on Access TV, if you get it, I think for DirecTV, like me, it's up in the 300s.
Yeah, I don't have it, unfortunately. You're going to have to report to us here on the show. I don't have that channel.
I will report next week. How about that? Next week I will have a report on this show. They do a lot of there's MMA shows on this channel and things like that, and this is obviously brand new, so they got a 13-week deal. New Japan Pro Wrestling, you get to see it. I don't know if it's going to be just the where they have the New Japan commentary or if this is the Global Force version.
So no, Josh Barnett and
that's right. It is.
Mauro Ranallo. I couldn't think of the guy's name. I apologize, Mauro. If you're listening, I don't think you're listening, but.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, that'd be awesome if you were listening. But
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot they are commentary. So I'll have a full report as I know, because on the info on the DirecTV, it just says Tanahashi versus Okada.
Oh, okay, very good.
I don't know. Maybe it's a new match. I don't know. Maybe it's a different match. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. What else you got?
And also ROH TV this weekend, Ring of Honor TV. We'll get to see, I think it's this weekend. And I double-checked it. You get to see the debut of Alberto El Patron.
All right. Well, if my cable company decides to show it on time, I'd love to watch it.
Yeah. I record it on Sundays, so I know I get the entire show.
I don't have the replay, unfortunately.
Yeah, that stinks. I get the replay on the KDNL affiliate here, the ABC affiliate, because they always cut off the Saturday night show.
Right.
I missed the last 15 minutes of the match.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. It's a really
good match like they have been. Yeah, I miss it. I'm like, oh.
Well, I'm sure he's probably main event of that show.
Oh yeah. So. I mean, this was TV taping. So he already had a match with Daniels, Christopher Daniels, and he's got some other great matches coming up. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I want to see what happens. What else you got here? Anything else before we move on?
Going back to WWE, NXT is on right now. They actually they moved from Thursday nights to Wednesday nights, and they start at 8 Eastern now on the network. So just a heads up in case you're looking for it. You're looking for it at when it airs, and they're not doing the show it early on the network Thursdays like they used to, because they used to put it out early. It's at 8 Eastern on the network Wednesday nights. is the first airing of each weekly NXT. And there is a championship match tonight. It's Adrian Neville challenging champion Sami Zayn for the NXT title.
Well, you know what you're going to get with those two guys. You're going to get a great match, so.
Right. And maybe a little bit of Kevin Owens thrown in.
Kevin Owens is never a bad thing, as far as I'm concerned.
No. Oh, absolutely not. And I have to say, I saw that picture you put up on Instagram of your shirt. That's a nice shirt, the KO shirt.
I know. You should have one. They're great.
I should.
All right. Well, look, let's...
A lot of shirts I should have, because I could go broke buying all the cool shirts that are out now.
This is very true. Finn Balor has a great shirt too. I have that one as well. I recommend it. All right, let's dive into these questions here as we wrap up the show. I see 1, 2, 3. Let's see, a couple of things revolving around Seth Rollins. Man, a lot of people thinking about Ooh. Seth Rollins here.
That's good.
So we'll. We'll kick it off here. Let's see. With Three Count Thursday, I want to know, do you think Rollins wins the belt at the Rumble? Do you think he's ready to carry that load? I'll take the second one first. Yes, I think he can handle being a world champion for the WWE. Not a doubt in my mind, I think he could be. I don't know if he's the guy they're thinking of just yet. He's somebody that if they don't do it with him at Mania, I foresee perhaps he being a guy that maybe like in the summertime, he could be that guy. But absolutely, I will have our predictions next week because I still want to see the last couple of bits of television before I make a real solid prediction next week. You know, our coveted predictions, Chris. Every month, people look forward to these things.
They clamor for our prediction shows. It's the best go-home show that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Better than the go-home Raw is the go-home informant weekly radio program.
There you go. So, do you think he wins the Belt of the Rumble? I honestly don't know. He was definitely thrown in that match for a reason. But at the same time, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's tough to say. Well,
now remember, he also has the Money in the Bank briefcase.
That's the other thing too. He doesn't really need this match, but I think he's in this match to take the pin. Probably, if he's not going to win the title, he's probably going to take the pin that's going to end the match.
Well, he's definitely not going to pin Lesnar clean.
No, I don't.
That will not happen. Not going to happen.
I don't know, man. You say that now.
Yeah,
We may be playing this audio in 2 weeks where you're wrong. I don't know.
Right. I mean, they could even do Cena beats Lesnar. Lesnar knocks out Cena, Rollins cashes in, and he's champion.
Yeah.
They could do something like that, where it's like a roundabout finish to where Lesnar's still protected, Cena's still protected, they're still fine, and Rollins walks away with the title.
This kind of goes into hand-in-hand with Sean McCulloch, who says, you know, with Seth Rollins standing tall at the end of Raw over Cena and Lesnar, do you think the plans have changed? And I say they very well could have.
Possibly. That is very possible.
I'm slightly non-committal, but I think that perhaps they have.
Because he's been looking strong for a while, but ever since they added him and his encounters with Lesnar and Cena, just getting him closer to that, going over the top.
He also says, and this is a great point, by the way, he says, just throwing this out there, but I think Randy Orton may interfere to screw Rollins. Bold prediction, but it may happen. And that's the unknown here, because if they decide to stick with Lesnar Reigns, if that is indeed the plan, you may want to have a Randy Orton come in and screw Rollins, because then you can do Orton and Rollins at WrestleMania if you want to. You can build up a couple of months of those guys going, you know, getting after each other and build it up to a match at WrestleMania, perhaps.
Right, throw Orton, or you could throw Orton in the Rumble match.
You could do that too. He could be a surprise entrance.
He could be one of the final four. Have him throw out Roman Reigns or something. Mm-hmm. Lost him the title match or something. And I don't know. It's really up in the air at this point.
Yeah, he's kind of the unknown, man, because there's a couple times they probably could have brought him back and they haven't done it yet, so.
They're saving him for something big.
We'll see. Andrea Vaughn wants to know, do you think Paul Heyman will turn on Brock Lesnar? Now, people are speculating perhaps maybe Rollins and Heyman might team up. Now, if they do choose to put the title on Rollins, I would almost think that perhaps Heyman turns on Lesnar. Maybe there's this thought that maybe Lesnar may want to be a babyface before he goes, perhaps. It's possible. I think he's better as a heel, though.
Right. I don't know. I have to disagree because I think Lesnar with Heyman as his mouthpiece is, you can't go wrong, and they should not steer away from that. That formula absolutely works. It's 100%. It's a home run every time.
So you don't think Heyman's going to turn on him?
No. I don't think he is, and I don't think he should.
All right. Fair enough.
Going to happen.
Paul Burke, a new regular of the show. Thanks for listening, Paul. We do appreciate you checking us out. He said earlier he thought our show was a 5-star show. By the way, iTunes, check it out, man. Rate us. Give us a nice review.
Yep.
We would appreciate that.
Even if you don't like having iTunes on your computer, just install it. go to the Wrestling Informant page, hit 5 stars, and then uninstall iTunes. Done.
Jesus. He says, do you guys think Sting will make an appearance at the Royal Rumble? Surely they need to build his angle for WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, that's the third biggest event of the year. I would almost say lock it in. I would almost say, yes, you will see him.
Yeah.
But there's another part of me that's like, well, maybe they want to save it for Fastlane, because a couple of years in the past, they have used the February pay-per-view to set up something for Mania, but I just get the feeling like they want Sting to be on that bigger show. So the Rumble sounds good to me.
Yeah, they could do the Rumble or even the day after on Raw. That has not been out of the question. They'll pull fast ones like that.
Well, he's not been on Raw yet, so...
Yeah, I mean, that kicks off into the Rumble match, into Raw, road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him to do something like that either.
Now, I'm assuming we all believe he's going to fight Triple H. I think that's probably the, you know, conventional wisdom, right?
It's logic. Yeah, at this point, that makes the most sense.
So the next question that people are going to be wondering is, well, if he does show up, what does he do? That's the question. What does he do? Does he attack Triple H again? You know, does he get two of this Triple H, let this former WCW guy get two up on him before he gets his comeuppance?
Or sticks it to Rollins, their guy.
That too.
Yeah.
So I would say Royal Rumble. I mean, it's possible Fastlane, which, by the way, that is a stupid name for, I'm sorry. But anyway.
Makes me miss the Elimination Chamber even more.
Well, you know.
I put something like that. Oh, my God. Yeah, you got Fastlane, and what was it? They had Over the Limit, Payback, and just these lame, cheesy,
yeah,
pointless filler shows.
I'm waiting for WWE Over the Ropes. That's the next one I want to see. Or WWE Body Slam.
WWE High Speed.
WWE Full Throttle, live on pay-per-view.
Brought to you by Kmart.
Oh, God. Oh, we could almost start a new pay-per-view hashtag. Hashtag bad pay-per-view names.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's get that going. Let's get some bad pay-per-view names.
Yeah, we'll see who's listening and who's not. Hashtag right. Us on Twitter, WWE, or bad pay-per-view names. There you go. All right. Let's see here. Weapon X wants to know, when are the Hardy Boys coming back to the WWE? Now, we just saw them on TNA last week, so I would say not anytime soon, but,
no.
You know, I got to think they got to have one more run. I mean, especially if you need a good baby face and you want to maybe put that, you know, with Jeff Hardy, perhaps you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I see they may have one more run. They're probably in the same boat as the Dudley. I see the Dudleys down the, you know, maybe having one more run.
I still would love to see Bubba Ray come back as Bully Ray in the WWE and see what he could do with that.
Oh, I know. But I mean, I could see them putting the Dudleys in the Hall of Fame someday.
Oh, they'll definitely lock it in. I mean, Hardy Boys too, man.
Oh yeah, the Hardy Boys, I mean, you got Edge in there already. I mean, they could have done Edge and Christian. But yeah. I mean, yeah, the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, yeah, they're tag team pioneers for the modern decade, for the modern era. And to not see them in, I think maybe they could have one more run. I don't know.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Hardy's back before the end of this calendar year. How about that one? How about that?
Wow.
I won't tell you what month, but just watch.
So before 2016 rolls around, you're predicting them back?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Mr. V Dog wants to know, Have you noticed how impressive Rusev is on the mic? You think he can tutor Roman Reigns? LOL. Rusev is great, man. I like Rusev on the mic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was kind of shocked. I'm like, man, this guy's a great talker, and he's got broken English.
You know, and he kind of keeps it short and sweet too. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, what we've been complaining about Roman Reigns not doing, Rusev is doing. He's doing it right. Short and sweet, tells you what he's going to do, very aggressive, and then he goes out and does it. It's that simple.
Well, they're also protecting him. I mean, clearly they're protecting him.
Very much. It's obvious. I mean, to see him just completely destroy or get the win over Dean Ambrose on Monday by ref stoppage.
Ref stoppage, yes.
Yeah, referee stoppage. And this isn't UFC, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not.
No, this ref stoppage was kind of crap, but it shows that they're still protecting Roman Reigns. Rusev.
Exactly. We got one more from our buddy Jimmy B. Baselis. He always likes to give us some thought-provoking questions, but before we get to that, really, really quick, check out our Patreon page, wrestlinginformer.com/Patreon. If you like what we do, you can donate as little as a dollar. And we're going to give you some cool perks like Jeremy D. Rhodes on Twitter, who donated $20 to our fine cause here on the podcast and gets his name mentioned on the show.
Jeremy's good people.
You see how that works?
Yeah.
So, Chris, for $20, you could get a special shout out.
Yep, we will put you over on the show.
Yeah, and for as little as $5, you're going to get your name on our website as a thank you, our Patreon backers. So, you know, we don't do memberships, we don't do all the subscriptions and whatnot. We're doing something completely different, and it puts the power in you, the listener. If you want to donate anything to us, it's greatly appreciated. So donate as little as a dollar, and we would greatly appreciate it. It keeps this show going. It helps pay for the storage. It helps pay to run the website. And if you like what we do, man, that's the easiest way to support us. So wrestlinginformer.com/Patreon. And with that, Chris, we get to our final question from Jimmy, who wants to know that, he's reading apparently online, maybe some of those, you know, those little rumors out there. You know, we have to preface it by saying we don't know these to be true, but he is saying that he is reading that the WWE may consider bringing back the brand extension. And do we think, Chris, it is a good thing? I'll throw it to you on that one. What do you think?
Right now, in the current state, no.
All right, why not?
I do not, because they don't have... I don't think they have the roster to be able to support two shows and treat them as separate entities and keeping them both strong. They just don't have... Their roster's too thin.
They don't have the guys, or they're not promoting the guy, or they're not promoting the guys right to make them strong enough to hold these shows up. Which is it?
No. Both. I mean, they don't have the right guys, and they wouldn't promote them right. It's loaded. I mean, it's an absolutely loaded question. So no, I don't think it's a good idea. No, they shouldn't bring it back.
Back when they had it, I was begging for them to go back to just a regular promotion because...
I know.
Well, one of the main reasons was because they never fully promoted it separately outside of the first two or three years. You know, right. For the first two or three years, they treated it, you know, completely separate. And
2002, 2003, 2004, it was complete. They didn't acknowledge it. They treated it as two separate promotions.
Even in 05 and 06, it wasn't bad.
And it was starting to blend a little bit.
So for me, you know, if in a world like this voiceover guys, if they could do it where it absolutely stayed separate, and of course they had the right guys, which I don't think, I mean, I think they do have the right guys. I think it's just in how they present them. That's the problem. And you got the NXT guys too. You can bring these guys up. Don't forget about them. Although, selfishly, I want to see a lot of them stay there because that's the only time we're going to get to see them really be them.
Right, yeah. I don't, you know, you almost want to, see, you want them to get called up, but then they don't because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, so.
They're going to up like Paige and get booked into obscurity.
I think if they were to do it and they said, look, we're really going to make this thing special. We're going to treat it the right way. We're not going to acknowledge these guys, you know, going back and forth this show to that show. We're going to keep them completely separate. you know, we're going to have John Cena on Raw and Roman Reigns on SmackDown and let the chips fall as they may, and they kept this thing separate, they could do it. It could work. But the other part of it is they only have one champion now, and I do not want to see two world titles back. That is one thing about the brand split I never liked. I don't like two world champions. There should be one that is better than them all, who is the main champion. And that champion can go from both shows, because then it's intriguing. You can make them visit. But then there's the challenge. WWE actually has to put in some effort, because then they have to take their United States Championship. They have to take their Intercontinental Championship, one on each show, and make that title mean something, so that when the champion is on the other show and they're not on that one particular show for that week, they need to have an Intercontinental U.S. title match, whichever show the champion's not on, and treat it like a big deal. They got to have these guys cutting promos, talking about what this means to them, and create a unique backstory that makes this work. Because if they don't do that, it would never work. And I'm not talking about happy-go-lucky Daniel Bryan smiling and yes, yes, yes. On some of the kind of stuff that they're showing on the YouTube, but back to what I said earlier, the kind of stuff that they're showing on the YouTube that nobody's going to see, they need to have guys cutting promos like that that are, you know, intense, or you know, if the mood suggested, of course, or guys that just talking like, you know, what this means to them, treating it like a sports-like environment. That's what I want to see. That's how you make it work. If they don't do that, just forget it. It's, there's no point. I don't think they can do it right now, though.
No, I don't. And that takes me back to 2002, whenever they first did the Undisputed title. And Triple H, when he beat Jericho, he went from show to show.
Yeah.
He was able to be, that was one of my favorite title eras, was the Undisputed Championship, where you could go between shows and pick your champ. You know, you're the champion and you're going to challenge this guy, or this guy's going to challenge you. That's like when Hogan came out and challenged him, although that was kind of weird. But
that was kind of weird.
Yeah. I didn't get that.
So, all right, we're going to wrap it up on that note. We're here. We just went over an hour. We broke our own rule. We went over an hour. I'm trying to keep it under an hour. We're talking over an hour because you and I, we just get going and we just talk.
Dude, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we just keep going. Just keep this ball rolling. I mean, there's a lot going on right now.
That's what it is. So,
and more listener questions. We love talking to the people.
Yeah, tweet them at TW Informer. We answer them every single week. So, you know, and don't worry if there's an overabundance of questions. We will get to every one. If you take the time to write us a question, we will take the time to answer it. Bottom line, period.
Yep.
My name is Gary Cantrell. That's Chris McMahon. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Subscribe on iTunes, rate, comment, all that good stuff. Check out the Patreon, WrestlingInformant.com/Patreon. Check out Amazon, WrestlingInformer.com/Amazon. These are just small ways, and they really go a long way. I'm telling you, you may think, oh, what's my dollar going to do? It can do a lot. Seriously, the listeners of this show, just in the bit that they did over the last month, paid for the hosting of the website and the hosting of the podcast for at least 2 or 3 months, and that means the world to me. So, you know, we don't put ads on the website. We don't, you know, do all that kind of stuff. We keep that just nice and clean, and we're always going to do that. But it's never free to run. It does cost money. And so if you're kind of like, man, these guys are kind of cool in what they do, I like what they do, you can store us even just $1. $1 helps. You know, anything you can do, we greatly appreciate it. So that is WrestlingInformant.com/Patreon. Chris, you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Where are you at? At Chris McManamy on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yep. That's simple. At Chris McManamy on Twitter.
All right. I'm at Gary Cantrell, and we'll talk to you guys next time. See you next week.
See ya.